This episode of the Pain Education Corner is sponsored by the Camella Foundation. The Camella Foundation is committed to relieving pain naturally using osteopathic healing principles. Here at the Camella Foundation, we envision a world where people achieve their maximum potential by being empowered with knowledge and skills to heal themselves and others. This information is to be used for educational purposes only, and not to be construed as medical advice. If you have any questions or concerns, please consult a licensed healthcare professional. Hello, it's Bill, the Knee Pain Guru, and welcome to the Pain Education Podcast, where we dig into and discuss unique approaches to relieving chronic pain or pain in general in the body. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Theo Lucian. Theo, welcome to the podcast today, and I'd love you to share, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Long story short, I'm Theo. I am a health researcher, biohacker, and I own a supplement company. And I specialize in kind of hard to solve problems. And that's actually how I got into health and wellness, is because I had what I would call an intractable problem that the traditional medical model couldn't solve. We're just pushing some drugs at me. I had to go and fix myself. And after a lot of money and a lot of time, kind of came around and fixed it. And a big part of that journey was actually my gut health. And in my case, it took me about 4 years to fix my gut, because I was, you know, throwing darts against the wall in the dark. But eventually I kind of figured it out, what works, what doesn't work. And it's actually pretty simple to fix.
Cool. Could you kind of give us, I've got a 4-year timeline right now.
Okay.
Could you give me an idea what you were struggling with at the beginning?
Yep.
What type of challenges you were experiencing in your body, in your life that led you on that path?
Yep. Got it. So, long story short, I used to own a company. It was a commercial real estate investment company. And I was one of the owners, or two of us. And as we all remember, in 2008, 9, 10, the market crashed. And here in California, it was a pretty dramatic event. It was a big deal. And I started the company in 2010. And that was right at the bottom of the market. So for the next several years, I ended up working in a client service business on call 7 days a week. Working 10 to 12 hour days were the norm, occasionally a 14 hour day. High stress, never ended, went all the time. And I ended up producing a lot of cortisol chronically. And one of the issues with cortisol is that it is a pro-inflammatory molecule. So I had this chronic low level inflammation going on throughout my body the entire time. And your body can deal with that for a while, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. But, you know, I was going on, you know, 4 or 5 years. And eventually I just fell apart, man. I mean, I fell apart. I had severe burnout. I had a full endocrine system shutdown. So basically my day would look like I'd wake up tired. I'd feel horrible. I drag myself to the office. I'd have about 2 hours of quote unquote energy where I could return emails and be on the phone. And then after that, I'd lay on the floor in my office, stare at the ceiling, and just wonder how the heck I was going to get through the rest of the day. And I had a lot of mild cognitive issues too. So short-term and long-term memory problems, difficulty processing information. those sort of things. And I'm excited to talk about that a little later in the podcast, because that's also inflammation related. And I was in my 30s, man. I mean, like mid to late 30s, it shouldn't have been happening. I was an active guy. I grew up on a farm in Minnesota. I was still surfing and still trying to eat pretty clean, but the stress, it just wrecked me. So I went to, did a battery of tests with, you know, your normal doctors. I had something like over 200 blood markers measured. I went to different neurologists, you know, GPs, this and that, and endocrinologists, the whole deal. And the best advice they gave me was a 5-minute test and said, cool, do you want some Adderall? You have an attention problem.
Oh, man.
It's just like, come on, man. You know, it's like, I wake up feeling horrible every day, and I was in my 30s. I didn't have an attention problem. I had an inflammation problem, but if you don't know, you don't know. Right. And so I stumbled across this concept of inflammation being the root cause of almost all of our diseases. There's a study we can talk about later that mentions it's implicated in 75 to 90% of chronic disease in America today. And I started to slowly kind of get a handle on it and kind of figure out what to do to lower inflammation. And I changed my lifestyle. I changed my environment. Ultimately, I changed my work because that was killing me.
Sure.
And
literally.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad, man. I mean, stress is a killer. And you know what's crazy is most people don't even know that psychological stress causes physical inflammation in the body. And even worse, it's a self-reinforcing feedback loop. So when you encounter psychological stress, your body and your immune system thinks it's under attack. So it releases these signaling molecules called inflammatory cytokines, and they go throughout your whole body, and then they signal, hey, you know, there's something going on here. Let's send the troops in. And the troops are inflammation. Right. Mm-hmm. And not all inflammation is bad. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, it becomes red, swollen, and it throbs. That's acute inflammation. That's good. That's all the juice and the red blood cells and all the good things rushing in there. But chronically over time, it's a bad thing. And so you're stressed, you produce inflammatory cytokines, that produces more stress, and then you produce more cytokines. And this cycle will repeat until you burn out like I did. You know, it's just a wreck. So that comes down. So you can fix the inflammation in most parts of your body, but when the gut is a difficult one to deal with, and it's called your second brain for the reason, it has a huge amount of nerves and nervous tissue in it. The surface area is gigantic. And most people have a leaky gut, which we'll talk about. And so that one, the Western medical system has no answer for. They don't even think leaky guts are that's real. And that's been proven. Double blind, placebo controlled, randomized clinical trials. There are tight junctions in your gut, and there are lifestyle, diet, and other practices that open them up. And when those are opened up, things that are supposed to be inside your gut flow through the gut, and they go into the interstitial spaces in between your cells, and they cause huge body-wide inflammation. Mm-hmm. And mine was, dude, I'll be honest, dude, mine was even worse than a normal person's, because back then I was stressed all the time. I was working all the time. So I was drinking all the time, you know, and not like an easy beer or anything. I was having like gin and vodka and whiskey and just terrible things, and just pounding down wheat and all these things that were so bad for the gut. And so that's why mine was a longer thing to repair. So what do you want to cover next on that?
Yeah, I want to back up just a little bit, because you gave out some fantastic information that's really valuable, but I want to tie people in with your journey. So sure. You were wrecked.
Yeah.
You were like, you went through the battery of tests with all the doctors.
Yep.
You're getting to a place where the doctors don't have the answers.
Correct.
And there was this piece of how the gut played a huge role in this process.
Yes.
What was the nexus? What was that point where it's like you realized the doctors didn't have the answers and all of these pieces that you were struggling with was tied to inflammation in your gut?
Well, that's a really good question. And the answer is, it could sound trite to some, it could sound inspiring to others, but when I was kind of at my lowest level, burnout, tired, chronic fatigue, negative, using alcohol to cope, a friend of mine dragged me to a Tony Robbins seminar in LA.
Okay.
My good friend, Brad, you know, he's the type of guy, he went to India for a year, just meditating, you know, didn't talk for 6 months, you know, one of those dudes, but he got really into Tony Robbins. And at the time, and even a little bit today, to be honest, like, you know, I'm not a motivational seminar guy. I'm like, show me the data, show me the science, and then let's pull out a practical solution that I can do today. That's me, right? Mm-hmm. Grew up on a farm, Minnesota. Yeah. We value practicality.
Sure.
So he drags me to this Tony Robbins seminar, and I kept trying to leave. You know, I was like, dude, I'm not waiting in line to register. Tried to leave twice. I'm like, I'm going back to the hotel. He kept pulling me back in. So this thing was 5 days long. He didn't tell me that. So the first day I'm just hating life. And I'm like, what am I doing here? These people are jumping up on their chairs, you know? And at the time I looked crazy. You know, I'm 6'4", but I had this long beard and hair down, you know, basically down past my chest. Cause I just gave up on life. You know, I was just growing hair and a beard. And, by day two, I was like, man, I'm stuck here. So I might as well just go all in. So I did. And it was really good. And on the fifth day, he has something called a health day. And there I was exposed to the mitochondrial theory of health, which I don't really consider a theory. It's, you know, it's a fact. And inflammation is the biggest determinant of your mitochondrial health, whether you're low or high inflammation. And most other chronic problems in your life are gonna come from that. And once I had that piece of information, I was able to pick it up and run with it and figure it out.
Okay, mitochondrial health.
Yeah.
And you ran with it. Where did it go from there? From the Tony Robbins seminar, were you able to implement stuff there at the seminar, or was it when you got back home after the seminar? Like, what was
it? It was back home after. And so, you know, for people listening that say, okay, what mitochondrial theory of health, what the heck is that? So, to put it simply, and people make fun of this phrase because you hear it in every high school textbook, but the mitochondria is actually the powerhouse of the cell, right? Mm-hmm. So these little mitochondria are actually ancient bacteria that live inside our cells. And a very interesting thing about them is that they do not have a protein transport chain. They do not have a carbohydrate transport chain. They do not have a sugar transport chain. They have an electron transport chain. So Everything you eat is broken down into electrons that the mitochondria use to power your cells and the cells power your body. And so when we're talking about inflammatory cytokines, those cause what are called free radicals. And most people have heard of free radicals and antioxidants. Mm-hmm. What most people don't know is that a free radical is an electron stealer and an antioxidant is an electron donor. So when you think that at the very base of everything in your body, that these mitochondria run on electrons, if you have electron stealers, that's going to be bad and things aren't going to run as well. And the mitochondria will age faster. Your cells will then age faster and then you will age faster. Inflammation is aging on steroids. And if you have a lot of antioxidants, specifically the right type with the right pharmacokinetics, meaning how they propagate through your body, you can back that process up and even reverse it in some cases. So I got back and immediately just started reading every book I could, hiring experts, doing interviews, going and getting tests from companies like Viome, who does gut tests for inflammation and, you know, your bacteria, and did Wellness FX, which is like, it's basically like a power to the people lab testing company. Paid experts to interpret those results, and then started adjusting my vitamin and mineral intake, getting a lot more what I call bioenergetics. So things that kind of charge your mitochondria up directly. So things like sunlight, earthing and grounding, huge electron donors, and exercise. When you compress, twist and move your fascia, when your fascia is mechanically distorted, it's piezoelectric. So it actually generates a small electric charge and it recharges you. So that's why exercise and movement are, some people have energy afterwards. That's why, it's because of the fascia moving around. So I got into movement-based disciplines and I went all out, man. I like joined a climbing gym. I joined a literal circus center, you know? Oh, so you got this like, sure, you know, 38-year-old guy training at a circus center, but it was great because I was doing all this complex movement and putting my body back together. So I did all that for several years, but the gut I couldn't fix. I kept, when I would eat something, I'd get really bloated. And I was taking all these anti-inflammatories and this and that, and the gut just, I couldn't get it over the line, man. And that is when I finally figured out that leaky gut is a thing, and you have to deal with the leaky gut first, and then you can deal with the inflammation part. And that took a long time for that piece to come together.
So what were the things that were allowing the gut to heal? I know like the exercise, all of that is important in the equation of it, but how did you zero in on how to heal what was going on in your gut?
This is a fantastic question because I invested thousands of dollars trying to fix my gut, and I did a battery of alternative tests that were quite expensive, and I followed really strict elimination diet protocols, did carnivore, you know, for 6 weeks straight, which is basically an extreme elimination diet. Did the Viome test 3 times, followed all their diet recommendations and supplement recommendations, but nothing really put me over the line. But there are basically 4 things that anyone can do that are actually super cheap that will fix your gut, and they'll do it pretty quick. Well, one of them's not that cheap, but I mean, we're talking like $50, you know, it's not the end of the world. So
sure.
You know, step one is going to be kind of gross, but people need to know, and this is a fact, we all have poop plaque in our intestines. So our intestines have these folds and creases in them, or crenellations. And over time, because of the food we eat and the pollutants we're exposed to, you get old impacted matter that gets jammed in those creases, and it seals off that portion of the gut from absorbing nutrients. So you can eat this really healthy diet, but you're not absorbing a lot of it because it's sealed off by this poop plaque, right? So, you know, you can go and get colonics. I tried that. I can't say it was the most comfortable experience, is, you know, especially going in there and like the assistant was like a 19-year-old girl. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. So I didn't want to do colonics anymore after that. And, I found out about psyllium husk, and psyllium husk is this plant from India, and it basically, imagine it, it's like Velcro for the sides of your gut, for this poop plaque. So you take psyllium husk and it will hook into this old stuff and actually pulls it off, and it pulls it out of your body.
Okay.
So I started doing psyllium husk, and I pulled out all this old stuff. And so you have to look at this as you're kind of paving the way. So this is your foundation. You got to get the old stuff out.
Right.
So I did that, and we can talk about exactly what steps to do whenever you're ready. But moving on to the second step.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, yeah, it works, dude. And you know, psyllium husk is like $8 for a huge jar. You know, it's like, it's nothing. You got to make sure you get the organic though. Otherwise it's sprayed with glyphosate, and glyphosate causes leaky gut, and it's a really big deal. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But now what you got to do is you've got to repair your gut. And to put it in perspective, imagine your gut has these things called tight junctions, and it's like a screen door. Okay. So when your gut is leaky and it's inflamed, these tight junctions pull apart and then stuff leaks out in your body, goes in your bloodstream, causes systemic inflation. So you inflammation.
Yeah, I got you.
There's a lot of inflation right now, but you want to close them. Okay. I tried everything, man, quercetin and all these different supplements. You want to know what works best is colostrum.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know what colostrum is, but colostrum is the first milk. Humans produce it too.
Yep.
But you can get bovine colostrum, and this stuff, dude, instant. I mean, I went from bloated, just the skinny fat guy, you know, this gut, this ET gut, and I took colostrum, and it was like that. I mean, it was like in 30 minutes. It was crazy how fast it worked. And so there's a protocol of colostrum, because you can't take it all the time. But what you do is you take it every day in the morning and at night for 30 days. And that basically gives your gut the building blocks to repair itself and seal up those tight junctions. So you have to look at the psyllium husk as, you know, like we created the foundation, and then the colostrum is, you had all your contractors come in there and they're doing the framing and you know, kind of building the house out. Now, the third thing you need to do is make sure that those tight junctions don't open up again. And given,
I want to, if we could go back to step one with the psyllium husk.
Yeah.
Are we completing the psyllium husk step before we go on the colostrum step, or is the psyllium husk step in conjunction with the step two, the colostrum step?
That's a really good question. And it's going to depend on everybody's individual constitution, what they have going on. But the majority of people, if they do that 3 days in a row, they will have achieved what you need to do, which is kind of clear out that area. And since we're back on the subject of psyllium husk, what you want to do is take it on an empty stomach. And you're probably going to do a couple scoops, 2-3 scoops. That they all come in the container and they're about a universal size. And you have to flush it with a ton of water, because it expands in your gut and it, you know, it's that sticky Velcro. So that's like a, and then after those 3 days, that's like a once a week thing, you know, but that's kind of a prep. And now you've exposed those crenellations in those areas, you remove that plaque, and now you can get the colostrum in there and allow it to repair the tight junctions. So then you do that first thing in the morning, like before you even drink water, you take the colostrum. It comes in a powder. And the best way to take it is to chew it. You literally put it in your mouth and chew it, mix it with your saliva and swallow it. Makes it more bioavailable. And then you do that at night, right before you go to bed. And that's kind of the heavy lifting for the repair. And then, so you've done that and you say, okay, great. I don't want my tight junctions to come apart again. What do I do?
Now we're on to step three. Okay.
Yep. And it's very difficult to keep your tight junctions closed, because our food supply is almost universally contaminated with glyphosate. Now, a lot of people don't know what glyphosate is, but it is an organophosphate herbicide. It's commonly known as Roundup. It is the most popular herbicide in the world. And it is based on World War II war chemicals. That's where it comes from. It's based on 2,4-D, which is what DDT was made from. They just changed the molecule around a couple steps. The problem with glyphosate is that it blows apart the tight junctions in your gut. like really fast and even in trace amounts. So even a lot of organic food is contaminated because it's dispersed through our atmosphere now. So you can have this organic field in Montana and they're growing organic wheat, but then the farm over is not growing organic wheat and they blows over on the organic one. And it's a real problem. But if you buy organic, you will reduce your levels at least 80%. Mm-hmm. But there is a molecule that will protect your gut from glyphosate. And it actually vacuums it up and it neutralizes it. And then on top of that, the same molecule will close the tight junctions in your gut. And it's something called humic and fulvic acid. Have you ever come across that?
I've heard of fulvic acid.
Yeah.
The beginning part of that I'm not familiar with.
Well, fulvic is a type of humic. It's just a lower molecular weight and it's more energetic. But they're essentially the same thing. It's just one's like humic acid on steroids, and that would be fulvic. And our food supply used to be full of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it no longer is because of modern fertilizer practices, which bind to minerals in the soil and wash them out. So like nitrogen binds to sulfur and it pulls it out of soil. So then the plants don't take that up. And then the things that eat the plants that we eat, like cows, they don't get it. And so then we don't get it. But humic and fulvic it's an ancient soil, actually. Mm-hmm. It's compressed plant material from like the Cretaceous era, like 500 million years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's when you look at it, it's like this brown, blackish mineral, very fine. And you mix it in water. Yeah, some companies sell it already in water form. You take a dropper and you put it in your glass of water. Some sell it in powder form, but the basic idea is you take it before you eat. So in the morning when you wake up, you take it, and then it coats your gut and it lasts for about 5 hours. So then anything you eat that has glyphosate after that, or just anything you eat in general, your tight junctions are closed because it seals those up and it will detoxify you from the glyphosate. And then especially before dinner, you take it. And, you know, ideally you take it 30 minutes before eating, but the truth is like I often throw it down, you know, minutes before eating, and it seems to work just as good. Mm-hmm. So that's humic and fulvic acid. So that's step three. And then
you said there was four.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Lucky number four. So this one took the longest for me to figure out and is the cheapest by far. The psyllium husk is the cheapest, but this is pretty cheap too. And it's so basic, I just think everyone has forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. So enzymes, man. Okay. You produce fewer enzymes in your body as you age. Also, the majority of food that we eat in a Western society is enzyme deficient. Mm-hmm. So traditional foods and traditional cultures, they come with the enzymes in them and they help you digest the food. So I like Korean food quite a bit, and that's still a pretty traditional diet. So when you go to a Korean restaurant, you get the banchan, the side dishes, and they're all fermented, man. You get these like tiny little fish and they're fermented. They're not cooked. You get the kimchi again, fermented, not cooked. And so that loads your body up with all these enzymes. And then you eat the dinner, which is cooked, you know, if you get bulgogi or what have you, mm-hmm. and it helps you digest it. But oftentimes in our culture, like all of the food's already cooked and you're mm-hmm. typically not getting that many enzymes unless you load up with a huge salad before you eat. Mm-hmm. So, which is why a salad traditionally comes before the dinner, is the idea is it loads you up with enzymes because a salad's living. But the type of enzymes the salad contains pretty much only just help digest what the salad is.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So enzymes, you take, you know, three or four of these guys, these little capsules, and they help you break down your food. And that made a huge difference, man. It's subtle. It's not anything crazy. It's not like the colostrum where you go from, you know, bloated to, you know, flat stomach in a day, but it's something you notice over time. And basically you feel less full and you feel less stuffed and you wake up with more, more energy because your body didn't have to do as much work to break down the food that you had for dinner. And there's all kinds of enzyme companies, you know, like Enzymatic is probably the one that is the most popular. You know, it's like $8-9 for a bottle of them, you know, last you a month, easy. And that's a basic four-step protocol anyone can do. The only one that could be slightly tough to source is the colostrum. You're going to have to order that online. Most places don't carry it. Hardly anybody knows what it is. And you will want to research that a little bit more. You pretty much don't want to go over a month using that. And then, because it really loads your body up with these growth factors big time. And you can go on a maintenance schedule after that. So I do it these days. I do it once a year.
The 30-day program?
The colostrum, yeah.
Got it.
Yep. The other stuff I do, I'd say I probably do the psyllium husk once a week, and then the humic fulvic every day, every morning and every night, and the enzymes anytime I eat, 100% of the time.
This, do you have, and this is what we could throw in the show notes for after, links to these specific ones that you use, or is this through your company, or like, let me know it either way. It's perfectly fine. I just want to get,
You know, for those supplements, I don't, what I'm going to recommend to people is for the psyllium husk, you want to find organic, because it can stay in your body up to 24 hours. You know, I had a friend of mine who he went a little hard on it and he took four times the recommended amount.
It was
in his body for like 3-4 days. Granted he's clean, he's cleaned out now, but if you don't get organic, it has glyphosate and it's going to trap glyphosate in your gut for that long. So you have to get organic. There's a company called Organic India that's good. And there's a couple others. And then for the colostrum, you're going to have to go by what's available. You do want to make sure that it's grass fed. Colostrum is like, it's hard to produce. It's hard to find. It's hard to make. It's hard to sell because people don't get it. So there's only a handful of companies that do it. I will say there is a company called Renegade Pharmacist. He makes a very good one. That is typically the one that I use. It's worth it. You know, it's like $50 or something.
Okay.
And the humic and fulvic, I am coming out with a humic and fulvic product, but is not available now. So what I would recommend is that people can check out Mother Earth Labs. They make an excellent humic and fulvic supplement that comes in a little dropper. And you can use it that way. Be very careful with your humic and fulvic. Anything that comes out of China is contaminated with lead and usually cadmium as well, which are some heavy metals you do not want in your body. And Shilajit is actually humic and fulvic. So if you've ever heard of...
I have.
That's Shilajit. Yeah, so it's Shilajit. So it's just in the East, it's called Shilajit because it comes out of fissures and rocks. That's just how they were able to harvest it traditionally and how they still do it. And it comes in this resin. But in North America, for instance, where there's a formation in New Mexico called the Fruitland Formation. That's where all of ours comes from. There's one in Canada. And it's mined. It's like they use mining equipment to get it. But be very careful. I would avoid Shilajit. If it comes anywhere from India or China, it's almost universally contaminated.
Got it.
With lead. Yep. And then the final piece of the puzzle, because we got excited talking about all these supplements and stuff,
right,
is EMF. And I did want to mention that.
EMFs like energy, what do you call it? Not radioactive.
Cell phone. Electromagnetic. Yes. Electromagnetic frequencies. It's a big deal. I used to think it was kind of BS, you know, because I used to walk around Bluetooth headsets when I owned the investment company, and you know, just be blasting myself with radiation all day. I was like, I am fine. Well, I wasn't fine. I had a leaky gut. And what most people don't know, and this blows people away, is that your gut lining, those tight junctions, mm-hmm. your blood-brain barrier is exact same tissue. Mm. So what makes your gut leaky makes your blood-brain barrier leaky.
Oh.
And when I kept mentioning that I had these cognitive disorders like brain fog and, you know, difficulty processing information, it's because I had a leaky blood-brain barrier. Mm. And there's a lot of things that make it leaky, like glyphosate, but what also makes it leaky is non-native electromagnetic frequencies. Mm. So Bluetooth, you know, it's a 2.4 gigahertz signal. That's the same, exact same as a microwave in your kitchen. It's just a lower amplitude. It makes these blood-brain barriers and your gut barrier permeable. Mm-hmm. And so things that aren't supposed to be in your brain get in your brain. They cause brain inflammation, which is a harder problem to solve. And then you get brain fog and fatigue and issues like that. And so the first thing you need to do is really curtail and limit what you are doing with EMF. And there's very simple things you can do for that we talk about in a bit, but also, and this, I cannot recommend this enough, is you have to be taking magnesium. Because it took them a long time to figure this out. And anyone that wants really hard science information on this, you can go to a website called bioinitiative.org. Mm-hmm. And there's over 3,000 studies you can search by symptom on what EMF does. Mm-hmm. And the mechanism of damage, this is how it physically harms your body, is your cells have these like little doorways on the cell membrane. They're called voltage-gated calcium channels. Mm-hmm. And what EMF does is these channels are normally closed, but it holds them open. And then it floods the inside of the cell with calcium way more than it should have. And then that creates inflammatory cytokines, which create the free radicals, which create the inflammation. It's a cascading effect. Mm-hmm. And that opens up your blood-brain barrier, and it also causes a leaky gut. So you got to get a handle on your EMF situation. And most people, they say, well, I can't do that. You know, it's everywhere. I don't even know where to get started. That's a fair point. But over 90% of Americans are deficient in magnesium anyway. Mm-hmm. And when you take magnesium, it goes into the cell and it closes the voltage-gated calcium channels, and it actually prevents that damage from happening. Mm-hmm. It's a really big deal. And, you know, hardly anyone, and magnesium's so cheap, man, you know, $6-$8 for a good quality one. And, you know, Life Extension, great company from Florida. You know, they make several different types of magnesium, but for anyone just getting started, just get one that has a blend. You know, you can get threonate, citrate, and orotate. That'd be a good one to start with, and they go to different parts of the body, essentially.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Pain Education Corner. If you have a special talent or skill to relieve pain and you'd like to become a guest on our show, visit us at thecamellafoundation.org/interview. Help us spread the word on eliminating pain and suffering in the world. That's thecamellafoundation.org/interview. Wow, this is quite a... I didn't think we were going to go down that much, like, talking today. This is excellent. It's excellent information. What I'd like to do is make a connection, if I may insert a little bit into this conversation, on the importance of what you're sharing today with physical pain. And sometimes there may be a little bit of a misstep or a gap that people would say, well, it's going on with my gut. What does that have to do with my lower back? Or what does that have to do with my neck pain or the headaches that I'm having or my knee pain or whatever the situation is? Yep. And I'd like to go back just a moment to the beginning of something that you had said on how you have the brain fog and the lack of energy and things like that. And what I see is a mindset piece that people will get in and they'll beat themselves up for not having the energy that they had when they were younger.
Yes.
So now they're going to go and try to do the things they did when they were in high school and in their 20s. And what ends up happening is nothing's firing the way it did when you were in your 20s before this gut issue happened. And now the nervous system, the electrical system blows a fuse, so to speak. And now something it's not firing the way it's supposed to. And we move in a way that we wouldn't think would be that big of a deal.
Yep.
And the back goes out and then the neck goes out.
Happened to me.
Or I slept funny on my shoulder and now I can't turn my head the other way or knee pain. So I just wanted to bring that into the conversation that everything you're sharing is so incredibly valuable to that pain conversation and how it relates to physical pain in the body.
Yeah. I think the easiest way to explain that is pain is accentuated and often caused by inflammation. And the single largest source of inflammation in most people's lives, unless they have an acute injury, is their gut. Because almost everybody's gut is trashed. People are walking around with leaky guts. They're shoving processed food down their craws, you know, exacerbating the problem. They're taking down glyphosate. And so you get this systemic inflammation that goes through the body, releasing these inflammatory cytokines. So the immune system's always hyped up and you have these inflammatory cytokines going through the body. So then if you have knee pain, it'll go to that site and it'll exacerbate the existing problem through making the inflammation worse. And so you have to deal with the inflammation systemically before you can deal with it locally. And, you know, we all know the local things you do to deal with, you know, knee and joint pain. God knows I've done a lot of them because my back went out in my 30s and it was really bad. I just didn't understand how it could happen to me, but it did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I did all the therapies for that locally, but I didn't address the global inflammation until much later. And that's when I made the most progress. So for the pain aspect, you know, a really good example of this is over the holidays, I was visiting my mom in Minnesota and she's 75 and she's got quite a bit of knee pain these days. And being Minnesotan, she hadn't really mentioned it much, but then I get there and I see she's having problems going up and down the stairs. And I'm just like, geez, mom, what do we got going on here? So we started working on our knees and doing stuff to bring the inflammation down. And, you know, while I was there, I had her on a good clean diet, but then when I left, she got into a bunch of sugar. She bought these like holiday cookies. And she said, you know, the funniest thing is I had those cookies. And she said, within a couple hours, my knees hurt, my back hurt, and my shoulder hurt. Those are her areas of pain. And it's because sugar is pro-inflammatory.
Yep.
So she ate this pro-inflammatory molecule, sugar. And then it took a couple hours, but then the inflammation cascaded through her body and it went to these problem areas and it exacerbated the existing problem. And that's kind of the best way to explain it.
Yeah. I was thinking of the analogy of being in a flood. Your house is in a flood.
Yep.
That's the systemic inflammation in your body. And you're trying to bail out the water in your bathtub.
Yes.
Like it's not.
Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. Cause you're trying to address the problem locally.
Right.
But your entire house is flooding. And that's what I was dealing with. And you brought up a really excellent point I wanted to address about willpower. And a lot of people blame themselves for not having willpower, not having energy, not having drive, not having motivation. For years before I addressed my inflammation, I tried to think my way out of the problem. I tried to think my way out of burnout, and I took responsibility, you know, very American thing to do. You blame yourself for it and take responsibility and said, well, obviously you're not disciplined enough. You're procrastinating because you're lazy. You know, you say you need more discipline, and it didn't work. And it just made me feel worse. But when I started addressing the biology of the problem, then I didn't procrastinate. I wasn't lazy. I had drive. I had motivation. Mm-hmm. And again, that comes back to inflammation. It's always going to come back to that, because if your brain's inflamed, you're going to have procrastination. You're going to have brain fog. If your gut's inflamed, your pain's going to be worse in your knees, your back, your shoulder. And in general, you're just going to feel lousy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe it's a important pattern to recognize when we do this to ourselves. We kind of beat ourselves up best. Yep. It's like, if I could beat myself up more than anyone else can, then it'll be okay somehow.
Yep.
But what I do see, though, is if we get to the source, mm-hmm. what you're suggesting here,
yep.
like really cleaning out the gut, taking a 30-day period, yep. going through that in a systematic way, the amount of energy you put into what you're going to do and the results you get are, the input is minimal, the results are maximal.
Massive. Yeah. Cause I spent all this money on these complicated gut tests and did these crazy elimination diets. And like, you know, I'm 6'4" and I weigh 189 pounds most of the time. And then I lost 10 pounds on that. And it's like, you know, I looked like the Nightmare Before Christmas guy, you know, Jack Skellington, you know, walking around. I was like, man, this isn't sustainable. I don't need to be doing an elimination diet. What the heck, you know? And, you know, it's once I tried everything else, and then you distill it down to these four steps. And, you know, especially the colostrum and the humic and fulvic, you know, those two things, man, for your gut health, that's it. That'll do it right there. And then you got to be consistent with the enzymes and the humic and fulvic over time. Mm-hmm. It's like brushing your teeth. You know, I view gut health as regular as brushing my teeth every morning, humic and fulvic, every night, humic and fulvic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime I eat, enzymes every time. And it's a huge difference. So, and for people listening, you might be a little confused about seeing the value of enzymes. If your food doesn't digest enough in the upper part of your GI tract, you get a lot of undigested food that goes down into the lower part, and it just sits there and ferments, and bacteria that are not necessarily beneficial feed on it. You know, normally they wouldn't be, because the food would be digested by the time it reaches that part of the tract, but here they get this opportunity to feed on it. And then they produce byproducts as a part of their metabolism that are toxins, and they cause inflammation. So that's why you want to take enzymes. You know, if you're, you know, like 9, you're not going to have too much of a problem. You're producing a ton of enzymes naturally, but the older you get, the less you produce.
Sure.
So,
Theo, this was awesome.
Cool, man.
Are there things, anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to?
Yeah, let me check my notes real quick to make sure, because I want to make sure that we give as much value as possible here to people listening. Because
sure,
yeah, I was stuck in bad health for a long time. Yeah, the only other thing that I would wrap it up on is the EMF segment. So it's easy to do the supplements and things, but if you're dumping tons of inflammation into your body through EMF all the time, mm-hmm. it's going to be really hard for you to fix your gut, and it's going to be hard for you to overcome your pain. And so there's a few resources I can offer people, but in a nutshell, the first thing you need to do, and these are so easy, consider keeping your cell phone on airplane mode as much as you can. If you can't, don't walk around with the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi on all the time. Bluetooth is by far the most harmful frequency. Wi-Fi is not that much better. Try to do that. And then with your Wi-Fi router, you got to turn it off at night. And you can go on Amazon and you get a $7 analog outlet timer. Mm-hmm. You plug that into the wall, you plug the Wi-Fi into that, and it cuts it off at a certain time at night and it turns it back on in the morning. That's what I do. I literally $7 on Amazon outlet timer. Don't get a digital one. I tried. You pretty much need a computer science degree to program them. But like the old school 80s, you know, analog ones, $7.
With the little...
You do that. They're great. And you know, just turning the Wi-Fi off at night, huge difference. And for, if you're wondering, okay, how much of a difference can it make? Well, coffee works by holding your voltage gated calcium channels open. The excess calcium makes you more alert. That's how coffee works. Mm-hmm. EMF does the same thing. It's just orders of magnitude less, but chronically over time, it compromises your sleep, which as we both know, lead to more health issues. And then take magnesium, mm-hmm. Especially at night. If you're deficient, you're going to get really tired from it. And so take it at night and it'll help you sleep, but it'll also help defend against the EMF. So those are super simple things anyone can do.
Okay. So we got airplane mode.
Yep.
We got turn off the Bluetooth.
Yep.
As much as possible.
Yep.
And then the Wi-Fi the Bluetooth on the phone, airplane mode for the phone during the day as much as possible. And then get the timer, the sleep timer. So it shuts off in the evening, till the next morning when you wake up.
Yeah. Cause what I've noticed from working with people on EMF mitigation is they get overwhelmed because it's everywhere and you feel like you can't do anything, which is fair. That's how I felt at first, but you just take one step at a time, you know, mm-hmm. airplane mode frequently when you can't, make sure the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are turned off, outlet timer for your Wi-Fi, and take magnesium. Anyone can start there.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is if you just take one of these points that you're sharing and implementing them in the next 30 days, and then another one in 30 days, and another one in 30 days, in a year, it's going to be completely different. Yep. I look at it as like exponential growth with things because your neurology is able to integrate those little changes without it really you noticing that much.
Yep. And that I couldn't agree more. And for people who, if you want like a simple kind of field guide to EMF and how to deal with it, there's a author, his name is Nicholas Penault, and he wrote a book called The Non-Tinfoil Hat Guide to EMF. And it's excellent. And he's it's super practical. And he says, hey, here's what's going on. And here's the steps you take to solve it. It's not a big book. It's like very accessible. And it's very practical stuff. You know, like I never hold a phone up to my head now anymore, ever, you know, cause of stuff I read in there, but you know, it's super practical. So that's a resource that I recommend people checking out. And Mercola's got, his EMF book that he came out with last year is also quite good. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of Mercola's his book, but it's good. It's a good EMF one. I would say his and Nicholas Penault are the two best out there right now.
Got it. Well, we'll put all of those links to the books and everything that you suggested in the notes. And we also have a bonus that
you've
given to share with the listeners. Can you share a little bit about what that is, what that looks like?
Yeah, so I had a lot of people ask me about 5G and EMF in particular. And so I wrote an ebook on it. And it's heavily referenced, has all the science and stuff, but basically it goes through, hey, what is 5G? Why does it matter? How do you defend against it? and as well as other non-native EMF frequencies. And here are the steps you take. So it's like a practical take you by the hand manual of what to do. And some of the steps get a little more, slightly more involved than what we just talked about. Probably my favorite one is that a lot of people don't know that vitamin C is sacrificial in your body. So we're one of the only animals besides guinea pigs and some type of bat that don't produce our own vitamin C in our bodies. Mm-hmm. We have to take it from external sources. But vitamin C is a sacrificial antioxidant. So it acts to spare the antioxidants that we make in our own body, like glutathione. Mm-hmm. And when you run out of vitamin C, then your body starts depleting its stores of glutathione, which is kind of hard to make. Mm-hmm. And then once that gets depleted, you get into chronic inflammation, pain, and mm-hmm. other chronic health problems, because those are antioxidants, right? Mm-hmm. And so most people are walking around completely depleted in vitamin C, and non-native EMF greatly depletes vitamin C that's active in circulation in our bloodstreams. And back in the 1960s, there were a bunch of ortho molecular medicine doctors that came up with a protocol that can like instantly reset your body's circulating levels of vitamin C in your blood plasma. And anyone can go buy a tub of ascorbic acid for hardly anything mm-hmm. and, you know, use that as a reset as well. And that'll rapidly bring down your inflammation. But, you know, I take 4 to 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. So mm-hmm. it's always active, you know, because even sitting in here, you know, there's several sources of non-native EMF right behind me, computer in front of me, you know, it's all over the place.
Sure.
But you don't need to freak out about it. You just need to do some basic steps. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people can get that. It's a free PDF. There's no selling. You just grab it and get it, and it comes straight to your email, and you can also download it on the spot. It's called get5gbook.com. Mm-hmm. So www.get5gbook.com. That's it.
We'll have all of that included on this page as it sits on the Camella Foundation website in the Pain Education Corner.
Cool.
And how do people get in touch with you?
You know, if anyone has questions on this podcast, my email is always open and I'm happy to help. So people can feel free to email me at theo@burnoutdetox.com. So that's Theo, T-H-E-O at burnoutdetox.com. That's an old product I used to sell that would help people get out of burnout, because that was kind of my backstory.
Got it. Well, cool. Well, Theo, it's been awesome.
Great.
This has been fantastic. I appreciate having you here on the podcast. Anything else you'd like to tie up with?
No, that's pretty much all I got. I would just say your analogy of bailing out the tub when your house is flooding is perfect. You know, with inflammation, that's the deal.
Yeah. And there's so much I've even gained from the information that you shared that I want to implement myself.
Cool, man. Glad to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, Theo, thank you so much for being here.
You bet.
This is Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru, with the Pain Education Podcast on behalf of the Camella Foundation. Thank you so much, and we will see you on the next one. To learn more about the work we do at the Camella Foundation, please visit our website at thecomellafoundation.org. Join us next week for another conversation on natural healing methods to eliminate pain.